Bye-bye. We've plugged it in. Just give us a few minutes, okay? I figured you were such a hot care time that you wouldn't need it for a little while. But that was really, that was so nice. How long have you been doing care time?
It's a long time. I'm a kid.
How old are you now? Just curious.
22.
Okay. When Prabhupada used to call us boys and girls, and now I'm beginning to understand it. No. Something more than. Abhay, how old do you feel inside?
12.
12. Really?
Yeah.
Bhutta Bhavanapu, how old do you feel inside? Everyone come close. Don't worry, you can start preparing your answers now as we go around the room and ask.
18.
And you? Yeah. 22. You're laughing. How old do you feel? Also 22? 12?
19.
19. So interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do with anything. How old we feel inside. If someone were to ask me, and no one has, how old do I feel inside? I'll tell you, not 76. It's not fun. Some parts of it are fun. But who else should I ask? I won't ask Kokuras. Okay. Ratis Prabhu, how old are you inside?
18.
At least you can drive. I recently, not so recently, but relatively recently, listened to some recordings by a psychologist, and maybe did we talk about this point? And that he was talking about complexes. Did we talk about that? But complexes, does anyone know what a complex is in psychology? Yeah.
Like an issue that someone has, some fear or some personality disorder maybe?
Not exactly, but it can be that. But it's like a trigger almost. And it's like you push a button and then you act in a particular way. And he was really explaining that we really have all these complexes. It's how we act in one sense. If someone says, you're like this, you either say, yes, I'm like that, or I'm not, or we react in different ways. And so much of our life is actually more reaction than action. We're reacting to circumstance. In other words, it's not really coming from us. We have automatic reactions to things. So it reminded me so much of what Prabhupada was talking about a conditioned soul, that he would mention that term, a conditioned soul. That means that it's hard to think of it like this, but who we think we are actually has very little to do with who we actually are. You know, we're with this ball of complexes acting very much. And the real us is actually very deeply hidden from sight. So that really made me think, you know, that question that we're supposed to ask ourselves. If I'm not the person who likes to make people laugh sometimes to keep them awake when they're giving class, or I'm not the person who likes to study, maybe that's some complex working, for example. But then who actually is the me inside of all this, which we translate into the question of who am I? So if I'm not all the actions that I do, again, then who actually am I? And we see in life, at least most of us probably experience, that we're searching for the identity that really fits who we are. Does that make any sense? Sort of the feeling really naturally who I am naturally. And that was actually my own personal, when I was just probably 20 years old, that was probably the first really sincere prayer I ever made, was I really wanted to know who is the natural me. Who, beneath all the superficialities and beneath all the reactions and hoping people will think of me in a particular way, who is actually me? So, of course, we all know the philosophical Krishna conscious answer to that, where Krishna's eternal servant, Krishna Nitya Das. And when we learn, when it's natural to act as Krishna's servant, like as we've been hearing about the residents of Vrindavan, or we were hearing about how to our own speciality of identity, when we can offer that, that's really who we actually are. And when there's a full manifestation of the self in the service of Krishna, that actually puts us in a particular form which is suitable to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. Was that sort of clear? When the form, if our essence is service to Krishna, then the full, when we actually have developed that and all the conditioning and all the complexes have been dropped away and all the foreign desires that cover us, that really aren't us, that we're dreaming will bring us the satisfaction and that we long for. When all that is removed and we feel, experience ourselves as Krishna's servant, and then we're serving not because we're supposed to serve and not because, oh, I'm a Krishna servant, therefore I have to find some service to do. Not at all like that. But when we actually develop our love for Krishna, and it's completely spontaneous, and it's completely natural, and it's coming from the core or the essence of who we are, that manifests our actual identity into a particular form even. And the form that we are is a manifestation of who we are and how we would love to serve Krishna as an individual. Now, just so I can figure out if anyone understood anything of what I just said, could someone tell me what I just said in their own words, if they could figure it out? Or otherwise, I'll just have to ask Aravind and get the exact proper answer again. I lost you on that one. Can anyone, or give me some idea of what you understood from what I just said. Okay, you drank. You drank. I saw you drink. That means you. Would you like to say something? No. Only Buddha Bhavana will save me from this one. What did I just say? Or what did you understand of what I said?
Basically saying that as we become free of those foreign desires, our true spiritual identity, specific spiritual identity, manifests.
I've been heard. Thank you. You saved me on that one. Yeah. So the chanting, Krishna's names, etc., or being in Vrindavan, or where some spiritual desires start to manifest, and it's spirit, like there's a sweetness, like you go to Varshana, and it's so different from New York, for example, or even Houston or Dallas, or even London. It's just so different. There's just something in the atmosphere that's just so different, that there's a sweetness, a taste that's so different. It's almost like a fragrance. Gopali, is this clear? Yeah. No one will say yes. But that was a yes, wasn't it?
It was a
tentative yes.
Yes.
Someone asked my son, who grew up in Vrindavan, someone who's just from the West. Hare Krishna.
Excuse me, I want to sit on the floor a bit because...
Because why?
I have to do something with my hands to stay awake.
What you do with your hands to stand here? Bite your fingers? What you do? Just make things.
Something.
Okay. You're in that corner, and you're in that corner. And you have to do something with your hands. And you can't bite your fingers. That's just a conditioned response. It's not actually... Yeah, so on one hand, if we cultivate by chanting, by hearing about Krishna, by association with devotees, by serving, by seeing the deities, but the positive desire starts to grow. Yes, maybe I could actually serve Krishna. Maybe it starts almost with a doubt. Maybe it's all true or something like that. The things that aren't us, the things that we look to, but for happiness that aren't actually us, they gradually should fall away. Sometimes it may take a long time because of attachments, specific attachments built up over many, many, many years or many lives. They won't, but eventually, if one even once, practically speaking, sincerely desires to be with Krishna in service. I am yours, is that verse. Sakrite Rupapanas Twam Tavasmi Chayachete. Where Hanuman and all the others, when the fight was going on with Ravan, then Bibhishan, the brother of Ravan, broke away from Ravana's party, and he wanted to surrender to Ram. And being a Rakshasa, he had the power to float in the air, and he said, "Where is Ram? I want to give myself to him." And Hanuman and all the other chiefs of the Vanaras, they gave their opinion of what should happen. And they all more or less said, "No, I don't trust him. He's from the enemy. He's probably a spy and trying to understand, you know, what our plan is, etc." And Lord Ram said, "No. Even if anyone, Sakrideva Papanastam, Sakrid means once, even if anyone once surrenders to me, saying, Tava Asmi, I am yours. For that person, I give myself, and I vow to always protect that person." So, this is who we're dealing with, the quality of the person that we are told that we are his eternal servant. So, anyone have any questions or comments at this point?
Yeah,
would anyone, okay, everyone just close your eyes. And you all, everyone I believe went to Barsana today. Why don't you go back to Barsana just for a moment and visit the place that touched you the most. And perhaps, I know it was very crowded in front of Laralila, the deities there. But maybe you could, if you actually saw them, that's very sweet. Or you could, maybe you saw Sankarikochol. Or go wherever you like and just taste a little of the fragrance or the sweetness of your favorite place in Varsana. And see if you would like to offer a prayer. Okay, when you're finished, join us here in this wonderful room filled with kind-hearted devotees. And I'll ask that most difficult question. Does anyone remember anything from what we read or talked about yesterday? Could start with something easier. Does anyone remember what book we were reading from yesterday? No, does anyone remember anything about what we talked about? Yes, please.
Well, one point that I really liked was when you said that like seeing Radha and Krishna together is not the same without there being Vrindavan.
Yeah. That's the whole theme of the Ratha Yatra festival. And the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto where Krishna goes to Kurukshetra for the purpose of the solar eclipse and the residents of Vrindavan go there too. And it just wasn't the same to see Krishna in a king, as a king and everything. And they wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan, especially the gopis. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. Anyone else remember anything? Yes?
That Krishna gave himself fully to the cowherd boys.
Yeah.
That was a point that you were stuck on that I remember.
Do you remember that one line?
He shares himself.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose legs are tended by the Goddess of Fortune, by so many goddesses of fortune, shared himself with the cowherd boys as one of them, expanding his internal potency to appear exactly like a village boy. Gramya samam, gramya vat, isha chastitaha. So that the one two words in that verse, isha chastitaha, which means he performed activities, gramya samam, along with the cowherd boys, gramya vat, acting as if he was a cowherd boy, isha chastitaha, that still he performed activities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada translates that in the Krishna book, or summarizes it by saying, he shared himself with the cowherd boys as one of them, expanding his internal potency to appear exactly like a village boy. But despite his appearing like a village boy, there were occasions where he proved himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the Isha Chastitaha. So here's one of the occasions. And this is going to lead us to an interesting question. But before we begin, we just have to... Oops. Yep. Okay, bye. It's now ready. I was embarrassed yesterday. It wasn't warm enough. You played football? Yeah. Is it warmer this evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, while Krishna was thus engaged in his transit, Gokuraj, yeah. Well, there must be some dramatic parts in this one. While Krishna was thus engaged in his transcendental pastimes, exhibiting his internal potency in the company of the supermost fortunate coward boys. Now why does Prabhupada say that the coward boys were supermost fortunate? What does that mean, even? Supermost fortunate? What does it mean to you? Supermost fortunate? Because that's not a term we would usually hear or use. What does supermost fortunate mean? Yeah.
The most fortunate you can possibly be.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, really good.
Most fortunate is not enough to describe how fortunate they are.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're very shy. Mataji's on this side, who won't say anything. Yeah, someone should break free of your shyness. And what is supermost fortunate? Isn't that an interesting term? Would you like to become supermost fortunate? And especially if it didn't stop anyone else from also becoming supermost fortunate. Because if we think we're the supermost fortunate, that means that we're more fortunate than others. But not in this case. Because Krishna is so big and magnanimous. Everyone, he can fit everyone in this category of supermost fortunate, and he could relate with everyone. Which brings up an interesting point from yesterday. When the cowherd boys were playing, do you remember? I just remembered one of those points. Do you remember what would happen when Krishna was tired?
Yeah, you can.
They would massage his legs and fan him, and sometimes they would decorate him. Now, there were countless cowherd boys. So just imagine the line there would have been. So how does Krishna deal with that? You know, no, I want a fan, I'm moving, pushing to the front, and no, you did it last millennium. Something like that. No, Krishna does, and he has the capacity to relate with everyone, so he expands himself into countless Krishnas to facilitate the serving mood, the loving service mood of the topmost fortunate of cowherd boys. So while he was exhibiting his internal potency in the company of the supermost fortunate cowherd boys, there occurred another chance for him to exhibit the superhuman powers of Godhead. Isha Chaitita. His most intimate friends, Sridham, Subal, and Stoka Krishna, addressed Krishna and Balaram with great love and affection thus. Dear Balaram, you are very powerful. Does anyone have the Veda base or with them? Yeah. Look, there's a verse in the 15th chapter. This is such a nice verse. I don't remember the number, but it's like just when this pastime is beginning. It's right after two verses, perhaps after the Isha Chastita, the verse that ends with Isha Chastita. So they said, "Dear Balaram," and when you find it, just raise your hand, please, so we can ask you. Yeah. "Dear Balaram, you are very powerful. Your arms are very strong. Dear Krishna, you are very expert in killing all kinds of disturbing demons." So they're already setting Krishna up and Balaram up for a pastime, in the sense of setting him up. If they say to Krishna, "You are very expert at killing all disturbing elements," what are they actually saying? That very soon we're going to present you with a disturbing element that we're going to request you to kill. "Oh Balaram, your arms are very strong, you are very powerful." Do you have that verse? Okay. "Will you kindly note that just near this place there's a big forest of the name of Talavan?" Has anyone, raise your hand if you've been to Talavan. Yes. Oh, verse, yes.
One after Isha,
the one that it says about Krishna Balaram, when they're addressing Krishna Balaram. Yeah, then it will be the next one. But really loudly, please.
Translation of the
verse. But I'd like to Sanskrit, because it's... So they spoke. Abhruvan means they spoke. Sudam Krishna, Sudam, Sridam, Stoka Krishna, they spoke. And the next verse is the one. But read the Sanskrit and loudly as you practically can.
Rama Rama Mahabhava.
Okay. Rama Rama, they said to Balaram, Rama Rama Mahabhava. That means, Mahabhava means mighty on Rama, Balaram, because one of Balaram's names is Rama, and Bala is another of his names, and Shankarsan. Rama Rama Mahabaho.
Krishna Dusta Nirbhavana.
Krishna Dusta. Dusta means those who are miscreants, who are bad, disturbing. What's the next word?
Sidhu Vidure. Oh, Krishna Dusta Nirbhavana.
You're the killer, remover of those. And then?
Ito vidure sumahat.
Keep going.
Vanam talili sankulam.
So tala ali means nearby there is a forest that's filled with tall trees. And that forest is named Talavan. Now how many of you have ever been to Talavan? And right now, there's only one tall tree in Talavan. But at one time, there were so many tall trees. Now, how many of you have ever eaten a tall fruit? What was it like?
Very unique, because you can have them.
Really unique.
Yeah. But, oh, sorry. You can have them. It's the only fruit you can have unripe, ripe, and rotten.
Rotten?
Yes.
Okay.
They make a drink out of it.
Yeah, it's called rotten tall juice. Rotten tall juice for sale. I didn't know that before. But how do you eat it? It's unique, right? Did you with your finger? Because it's got it has this little groove in it, and it's not that it sort of tastes great. But it's very cooling. At least the one I had. Was yours the same?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's really unique, and it's very cooling, and this is during the hot season. So they said, "Will you kindly note that just near this place, there's a big forest of the name Talavan. And this forest is full of palm trees, tall trees. and all the trees are filled with fruits. Some have fallen down, and some are even very ripe, even in the trees. Now, Talavan, now here we are, we're on the western side of Govanon right now. And the Cowherd boys at this time were on the eastern side of Govanon. And between Mathura and Govanon, I think 16 kilometers or miles or kroshes or something. And halfway between Mathura and Govanon is Talavan. And Talavan is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and possibly even in the verses, is the earth is very, very brown there, and it's very rich, and there are no rocks in the earth. And it's right there, just on the other side, but 8 kilometers or something, on the other side of Govanon. So the boys were just at Govanon, and Talavan was just 8 kilometers away. And at that particular season, when this pastime took place, the wind blows from east to west. So they were at Govanon, and the Tal forest was east of them, and the breeze was blowing of these, the fragrant Tal fruits was blowing towards Govanon. So the boys say, this forest is full of palm trees, and all the trees are filled with fruits. Some have fallen down, some are even very ripe in the trees. It is a very nice place. But because of a great demon, whose name is Dhanukasura, it is very difficult to go there. No one can reach the trees to collect the fruits. Dear Krishna and Balaram, this demon is present there in the form of an ass, a donkey. And he is surrounded by similar demon friends who have assumed the same shape, and all of them are very strong. So it is very difficult to approach this place. Dear brothers, oh Bhai, you are the only persons who can kill such demons. Other than you, no one can go there for fear of being killed. Not even animals go there, and no birds are living there. They've all left. One can only appreciate the sweet aroma carried by the breezes going from east to west. One can only appreciate that sweet aroma that is coming from that place. It appears that up until now, no one has tasted the sweet fruits there. Either the ones on the trees or the ones on the ground. Dear Krishna, to tell you frankly, we are very attracted by this sweet aroma. Dear Balaram, if you like, let us all go there and enjoy these fruits. The aroma of the fruits is now spread everywhere. Don't you smell it from here? Now, what do you think of that? They're trying to push Krishna and Balaram into this pastime. Now, here's an interesting question that I know the answer to, so I'm not even going to ask you. We understand that in Vrindavan that no one has any selfish desires. Everyone is only acting to please Krishna. But here they're saying, we want to taste these fruits. and they're pushing Krishna and Balaram to go there to kill the demons so that they could taste the fruits. And they're presenting it in such a way, an enticing way, that it will be very difficult for Krishna and Balaram to refuse. But is it selfishly based? And of course you all know the answer, that nothing is done in Vrindavan with any selfishness, regardless of how it externally appears. Which is exactly the opposite of the material world, where nothing is done with unselfishness, regardless of how it superficially appears. There's always some self-interest in the material world. Did I just ruin your day? But that's actually the truth. So in the spiritual world, it doesn't make a difference what anything appears to do, because everything is based on love for Krishna. So the coward boys were actually wanting to see Krishna perform this pastime, Krishna and Balaram to perform this pastime of killing the demons. And then that would just increase and make their love for Krishna and Balaram just grow. It's like if your best friend wins an Olympic medal or something like that, and you're thinking, wow, he's my friend, is so wonderful. He's the best. So the coward boys wanted the glories of Krishna to be spread, and they also wanted Krishna to taste the fruits. But you already knew that, of course. But what you didn't know, probably, is how I'll read it and then I'll a little more and then explain it a little bit. When Balaram and Krishna were thus petitioned by their intimate friends, they were inclined to please them. And with smiling faces, they proceeded towards the forest surrounded by all their friends. So smiling faces, very interesting. Why were they smiling? Because when our acharyas explained that when they said, oh, we cannot go to these fruits, and everyone is afraid of going there to Talavan Forest to taste these fruits because the forest is guarded by very powerful demons in the form of donkeys. And Krishna Balaram just laughed. Powerful demons in the form of donkeys. Powerful demons in the form of donkeys. It's funny, isn't it? Powerful demons in the form of donkeys. Can you make the harmonium laugh? So you can just imagine their mood. They proceeded towards the forest, surrounded by all their friends, and we asked the power, let us go on the powerful demons in the form of donkeys. So they were just in this joyous, boyish, fun mood, and let's go to the forest and have the fruits and kill them, and let's go. And Krishna, at this time, pushed Balaram ahead, because he had already killed so many demons, and Balaram hadn't killed any, and he was his elder brother, so he wanted Balaram to kill his first demon in Braj. So they all marched forward. Balaram was in front. They all marched forward with Balaram in front. And Balaram, immediately upon entering the Talavan, he began to yank the trees with his arms. He grabbed one of the trees and began pulling it back and forth. And he was exhibiting the strength of an elephant. as opposed to the strength of a donkey. And because of this jerking, all the ripe fruits fell on the ground. And upon hearing the sound of the falling fruits, the demon, Dhanukasura, who was living there in the form of an ass, of a donkey, he approached with great force, shaking the whole field so that all the trees moved as if there was an earthquake. The demon appeared before Balaram, and he insulted Balaram by turning his first, because a donkey's hind legs are very strong and his front legs are very weak. So he turned his back on Balaram and he kicked Balaram in Balaram's chest with his full strength. And Balaram did not say anything. But then, with great anger, the demon kicked him again, more vehemently, stronger, with more force, fueled by his great anger, because that gets us very angry when we try our best to do something and we're completely ignored. But this time, Balaram caught his legs just in the high point of his kick, and with one hand, he began whirling him around again and again and again again and threw him into the treetops. And while he was being wheeled around by Balaram, the demon lost his life. Balaram threw the demon into the biggest palm tree around. And the demon's body was so heavy that the palm tree fell upon other trees and several fell down. It appeared as if a great hurricane was passing through the forest and all the trees were falling down one after another. This exhibition of extraordinary strength is not astonishing because Balaram is the personality of Godhead, known as Anantaseshanaga, who is holding all the planets on the hoods of his millions of heads. He maintains the whole cosmic manifestation exactly as horizontal and vertical threads hold the weaving of a cloth. Now, previously, the boys had said Dhanuka was there with his many friends, who had also assumed forms similar to his and were also similarly powerful. So after the demon had been thrown into the trees, all the friends and associates of Dhanukasura immediately assembled and attacked Balaram and Krishna with great force. They were determined to retaliate and avenge the death of their friend. But Krishna and Balaram caught each of the asses by their hind legs and exactly in the same way. And all the coward boys just, wow, Krishna and Balaram. They were the heroes. They were the life itself of the coward boys, of all the residents of Vrindavan, but here, of the coward boys. And Krishna and Balaram wheeled them around, and thus they killed all of them and threw them into the palm trees. And because of the dead bodies of the asses, there was a panoramic scene. It had appeared as if the clouds of various colors were assembled in the trees. And hearing of this great incident, the demigods from the higher planets showered flowers on Krishna and Balaram and beat their drums and offered devotional prayers. A few days after the killing of Dhanukasura, people began to come into the Talavan forest to collect the fruits, and animals began to return without fear to feed on the nice grasses growing there. Just by chanting or hearing these transcendental activities and pastimes of the brothers Krishna and Balaram, one can amass pious activities. Okay. Close your eyes. What are you thinking right now? And see if you can, yeah, close your eyes and then, what are you thinking right now? Maybe you can imagine the scene that was there. And the boys just with Krishna and Balaram. But what are you thinking right now, other than what I just said? Raise your hand if you'd like to say. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
I've never been in one. So for me, they feel really mysterious because I've never experienced one physically. So.
Raise your hand if you've ever experienced an earthquake. Wow. Wow. We should open up a trauma center here. What? That's amazing. I've never been in a room except in Christchurch, New Zealand, where there were so many people from who've experienced earthquakes. What was it like to be in an earthquake? Yeah.
It was like, you know, you were in a cradle and someone was rocking you. That's how I felt. It felt cool, to be honest.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, because a cradle has a feeling of safety.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't feel frightened?
No, I think it was a soft earthquake because it was really slow.
Where was it? The story gets really interesting. What movie was it?
I don't remember, honestly, but this was in Los Angeles, so like there are a lot of earthquakes that happen over there, so it was just one of them.
Just another earthquake. Yeah. That's really interesting. Anyone else like to explain their earthquake experience? Yeah.
It was a really small earthquake. It was just disorienting. It just felt like everything was out of balance.
Yeah. And how did you react to that? Oh, you were disoriented.
I was just confused.
Well, what's the element that confuses you? Was it, what time of the day was it? Do you remember?
It was in the evening. I was at work, and it was in Dallas, and we never ever thought it was in Dallas.
Well. Never? Well, at least once. Yeah.
I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Anyone else like to say what their earthquake experience was? Yeah.
Well, a few of us actually were in Mayapur when the big earthquakes happened in Nepal. And it was just weird because when you do something like surfing or something and you come back on the ground and you feel like you're safe. But when the ground is unsafe, you just feel weird, like everyone tries to like run out of the building. But it's just weird because no matter where you go, you're like, you don't feel like you're moving, like everything's moving around you. So it's kind of very like very weird, awkward, like
disorienting.
Yes.
Because we take for granted like reality is what it is, and part of reality is that when I take one step, it's safe, it's secure, and suddenly that which we never considered would be unsafe is trembling before us. Yeah, disorienting. How did your body react to it? In other words, I'm asking that because I had one experience, and my mind was peaceful, but my body reacted in a completely different way. My heart started beating really fast.
I don't remember. I just remember my mom telling me to run out of the building, to get away from the building. So.
Yeah. Anyone else? Was it a pleasant? Only you had a pleasant experience, like being rocked in a cradle. It was pretty good.
Must have been a good movie.
But she honestly doesn't remember. Yeah. What's your name?
Pooja.
Pooja. Yes.
So I had one. This was in the 2004, the really big earthquake. It was on my birthday. So in the morning, I wake up. They're shaking. All our photos and stuff were.
Where was this?
It was in India, in
Andhra.
Yeah, so a lot of shaking, so we all ran out of the house. Very disorienting.
Yeah.
I would say it's a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
for being very little.
Yeah. Because that which we imagine is giving us shelter can't give us shelter at that point. So our sense of reality shakes along with the shaking of the earthquake. You started this one, didn't you? It's okay. So you thought it... So that's also so interesting, because somehow or another, if we could see everything that happens in relationship to Krishna, then that's wonderful, because then we're always remembering Krishna. So that's, it's actually a little weird, but it's wonderful. But really, it's wonderful. More wonderful than weird, I think. See, that's actually the art of living in this world, to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And then we're always in the security of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Therefore, there's one part of in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of his purports, Prabhupada said, for a devotee, he always lives in the mercy of Krishna. Can you imagine what that would be like, to trust Krishna so much that even if the very earth is quaking beneath your feet, that you feel Krishna's protective presence? Now that is a non-theoretical great achievement, not philosophical, but the depth of that realization, if your realization is that deep, that regardless of what's happening, your experience of Krishna is there. That's a perfection in Krishna consciousness. Jivatiyo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Yeah. Anyone want to say anything else at this point? Either a question or a comment on anything? Yes. It was, what was the last thing?
So like
after your mom got the deities out?
We went downstairs from the building.
So she specifically went to get the deities out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful for me. Because like she cared about the deities more.
How do you feel about that? Huh?
I respect it.
But how did you get out? Just curious.
I was with my dad. I just saw my mom and this stuff.
Okay, so your dad took care of you.
Yeah.
I know someone in Melbourne who somehow they had a fire in their house. Unfortunately, I don't remember all the details, but the Mataji, there was a blazing fire, and she ran inside to get the deities out, and she got a little bit burnt, but like as soon as she got the deities out, like the whole place collapsed or something like that, something horrible. I wonder how Krishna reciprocates with such devotion of someone just naturally, because you don't have time to think, well, what's going to happen now if I go in now with the fire, and what will exactly, you know, it's just you just do it. I wonder how Krishna reciprocates with the devotion of such a person. But one thing I do know about that particular incident, that the whole community got together and took care of those devotees, which is really what community is. You really can trust a community that takes care of its people. Yeah, and that's what it seems to me, that one of the things that's really lacking in the world, a sense of community, and everyone's sort of on their own, or tends to be on their own. So is that one of your goals, really, to develop a community and community spirit? Is that?
Yes,
Sangha. Yeah. Huh? Sangha. So is that kind of taking care of each other? Because that's what you expressed to me yesterday. Yeah. How wonderful if you could do that. That would be, and it seems like you're doing it, but that's really wonderful to nurture and foster that sense of community amongst devotees. Yeah, thank you. Anyone like to say anything else? Thank you for sharing, and what a good heart to really respect what your mother did. So it's worthy of respect, and you were taken care of, it wasn't. I'm sorry, couldn't you?
It was Gopal, like tiny deity.
Yeah.
It was like a grand family, so now she has a lot of deities.
Well, who wouldn't be her deity if she could take care of you like that, risk her life? They all must have come to her. What kind of deities does she have now?
Now we have Gornitai, Jagannath, and Radhakrishna. Yeah, that's it.
And do you still live in Dubai?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. And have there been any earthquakes? Since then, that you know of?
First time.
Yeah. What's it like in Dubai? I've never been there.
It's hot.
I mean, it's all like this way, right? And all air conditioned.
Yeah, there's a lot of air conditioning, but still, like, if you go out in it, it's like boiling. It hits your skin as well.
Yeah, so, but you can't just stay in all the time.
I mean, yeah, you do go out, but like,
but isn't that very repressive? Don't you feel repressed?
I mean, at night it gets better.
So you go out at night?
Yeah.
Wait a second, we won't go there. But what do people do? I mean, they just have to stay indoors? Or do they make big outdoors that are sort of like indoors?
Air conditioning outside as well.
Like the whole entire Sahara Desert or something like that? Really? I mean, people mostly stay in their apartments and stuff like that?
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, we have indoor facilities.
Like what?
Just like the basketball.
Yeah, do you play basketball?
A little bit.
Okay. Are there any basketball players here? What team you root for? You're like the tallest, right? We're going to start a little war here now, I think. What team do you root for?
Well,
What team? Yeah. What team do you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I just play in high school.
But you, do you have a favorite team?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Okay, we'll keep it private. No, we don't have to. Okay, never mind. Okay. You're in high school?
No, I'm in college.
And what's your name?
Avig.
Avig. Avig.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Okay, now, this pastime goes on. But maybe we won't read any more right now. Let me just check what time it is. Okay. Do you still play? You have time to play even though you're in university?
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Small forward.
Hare Krishna, you can see one of my weak points here. But I become a little afraid because it's because now I have trouble like walking up steps and my knees hurt, my ankles hurt. And when I was young, I could run and run and run and run and run and run and play basketball and this and that. And now, being in an old fellow's body, I see young people running and jumping and things like that, and it's so amazing. How could they be doing that, I think? And then I have to be so careful, because then my natural tendency is to think, I used to be able to do that, and the next thought is, only if I can do that again. And then, boom, I'm planting a seed for the next birth, so I could do that again. So I'm learning to let all that go and instead think only if I could love Krishna. Because that's how we prepare our next lives. Because we all have things that in this life, and we have our lamentations, like our friend probably has some part of him that wishes that he could go outside for more than a half hour. And then we look at people who can go outside all day long, where there's an ocean with waves or something like that, and we think, if only I could go outside for long periods of time without my skin burning. And then you want that? That's what you desire? Okay, Krishna will fulfill that desire. So one of the issues of life is that we all have things in life that we feel we never really got right. And we see other people. I could tell you some of mine, but they're funny. There was a time when I was young that I had hair. I'm speaking the truth. I'm not exaggerating. And some of my friends had straight hair and sort of like blondish sort of straight hair, and mine was always curly. And I would stand in front of him when I was a teenager. I'd stand in front of him in the mirror, like trying to like, and no matter what I did, it was still curly, and it never could get blonde or anything like that. It was so frustrating being a teenager. Because you always see people who have things that you don't have and that you want and you wish you had and things like that. And so we all have points of frustration, that of things that if we think only if I had that, then I would have been, or then I would be happy, satisfied, etc., etc. I would have gotten this if I could have played the harmonium like some people or learned Sanskrit? Anyone speak, know Sanskrit quite well? Anyone who studied that? I'm in the right group then. Just, and we have all these things. I mean, not all of us, but mostly we have things that we have, and only if I had this, only if I was taller or shorter or this or that, or thinner or fatter or stronger or more intelligent or more musical or more clever or more this or more athletic or more, or whatever. And then, when we're older, we think about the frustrations of not fully satisfied life, and we think, only if I could run again or walk again or jump, or only if I had more money or this or that. And then just traveling from one material situation, birth after birth after birth, to another. So we're not recommending that path, but we're recommending the only if I had love for Krishna. And then that the part of me that it doesn't have the complexes and the conditioning, then that part, the real me, the essential me, would blossom forward and be truly satisfied. Do you believe that? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. And then if it's yes, yeah, but, then you have to, you know, then how to move forward in such a way that that we can hold, we could hold tightly onto the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. And now, I just want to, right? 6:30, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. This is amazing. Rupa, you asked a question yesterday that the Super Soul completely inspired. Do you remember what it was?
Something along the lines of, how can I bring this experience home?
Yes. It was such an amazing question. Do you remember my answer?
Last day.
Yes, but we moved up the last day to today.